This is The Agriculturist, the official podcast of the student-created magazine in the Texas Tech University Department of Agricultural Education and Communications. In each episode, we hear from the students as they expand on the stories you'll see in the printed and online magazine from the school we love so dearly.
Thanks for joining us. My name is Krislyn Tatum.
And I'm Talon Eaton. We are agricultural communications majors here at Texas Tech, and today we are going to be discussing the retention of female agriculture teachers in the classroom.
To provide some background on our story, the focus lies on celebrating women in the ag education industry and acknowledging their struggles. This story is told using the perspectives of multiple women who have had these experiences. This podcast takes a deeper dive into one of the more pressing issues facing educators, which is retention. With us today is a Texas Tech doctoral graduate whose dissertation spotlights the specific trend.
So to start off, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
My name is Samantha Gaddy. I just finished up my doctorate in agriculture education at Texas Tech. My undergraduate degree is also in ag education, and I finished that up in 2014 and started teaching agriculture at a high school in Central Kentucky. I was very involved in FFA and ag ed throughout my high school time, and it really impacted me in a positive way. And I knew that it was something that I wanted to do when I graduated college, was to have that opportunity to impact students in a positive way. I'm on my ninth year of teaching, and I really enjoy what I do. I'm passionate about the changes I see in young people. And I got this doctorate so I could continue to contribute to the industry.
Give us a little background of how you got into this study and what inspired you.
So as I was, you know, reading through the literature, that's the first thing I encourage you when you're trying to figure out what you want to write about, you know, read and see what's already out there and what strikes your interest. And I didn't realize the number was so high, but 75% of new ag teachers are female, which is a pretty high number. And for some states, I would say it's closer to 80 to 90%, just depending on what state you're in. Female ag teachers are also 2% more likely to leave the profession. So combined with that, we continue to have a gap where we don't have enough ag teachers to fill programs. And last year, 30 ag programs closed because of lack of teachers. So if you think about 30 programs, if they averaged 100 students apiece, which I don't know what they averaged, but let's just say that that's 3,000 students that did not get to be impacted by ag ed in one single year. And that's kind of the trend. Like, you're seeing 30 to 50 programs close every year because there's not enough teachers. So I thought, can we figure out some more ways to make teachers stay? And a lot of studies look at why teachers leave, but I thought, can I look at teachers that have stayed and figure out why they stayed? So that was the approach I took to it. You know, what could I do to make sure students have an ag teacher and have access to this ag program?
So did you realize this topic was more or less broad as you began to dive into it?
So I really wanted to find out, you know, why teachers stayed. And what I did, I interviewed some teachers that had been in the profession for 20 or more years, and they were all female teachers. And I tried to get their perspective on how they could endure some of these educational problems for 20 plus years. And I think there were a lot more reasons. And every time you do research, it always inspires you to do more. So, you know, I've got a whole list of stuff if I continue to do research that I would look at. So it definitely ended up being a lot more factors than I thought there would be. And there were a lot of factors that surprised me that kind of rose to the top as being a determinant.
So what was one of the most surprising things that you found throughout your study?
I think what surprised me most was just how much the class load itself impacted ag teachers. Most ag teachers teach 4 to 5 different classes a day. And if you take, let's say you take 4 classes, you got to teach them 5 days a week. That's 20 different lessons that teachers are preparing over the course of a week. And it can be really stressful trying to make sure you're doing good quality lessons, meeting standards, filling out all the paperwork your district wants. But I didn't realize how much that was truly the stressor that some teachers said kind of made or broke it for them. I thought it would, you know, I thought it would be more of the hours you had to spend. I thought it would probably be the FFA side of it. But planning lessons really rose to the top.
What were your methods?
Well, mine started out with qualitative, and I interviewed female ag teachers that were at least 20 years into teaching. And I had a list of questions, and we did some Zoom interviews, and I recorded that and transcribed it and looked for themes within that qualitative interview. And National FFA was kind enough to help me identify teachers who were eligible for this study. And they came from all over the country. So I didn't just pocket, you know, a local area or anywhere that might have made a difference. So it was a nationwide study. And then I took the themes I found and I made some survey questions. And then we distributed the survey to ag teachers who had less than 5 years. And I was like, hey, here's what's stressing the 20-year teachers. Do you think this stresses you? What's your perspective on it? I have a perspective of the 20-year teachers saying, hey, this was good, this is bad. And then the 5-year teachers either saying, hey, if I had help in this area, it would really help me stay. Or, no, that's not really an impact for me.
So what do you plan to do with the knowledge that you've gained from this research?
I've already been in touch with, we have a National Ag Teacher Association, and it's based in Kentucky, but the office is in Kentucky. So I have some friends who work there, and they have a teacher retention specialist. So I actually got to Zoom with her and talk about what I found so that maybe they can start to implement some of that stuff. I may or may not try to turn this into a journal article and have it published. So just some things like that, trying to just share it with people I know in the industry.
You're married and have 3 children now, right?
I do, yes.
So why don't we talk a little bit about your work-life balance and how study has impacted that a little bit.
So I now have a 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7.5-week-old baby. So I just got back from maternity leave last week and kind of dove right back into teaching. I think one thing that's important is to incorporate your family as much as you can. For instance, every November we go to the rodeo at the North American Livestock Expo. I don't know if you've heard of that one. It's one of our bigger shows for like this side of the country. So we take 2 buses of students to that, and my husband can actually drive a bus. So he drives one bus. We'll take my school-age daughter with us. So we kind of make it a family event. So it's how much can you mesh that time? And so you get to spend time with your family, but you're also working as much as you can. And I think a lot of it's figuring out how to say no. I always have a question in my head, does this benefit my students? And if it's something that doesn't benefit my students, I try to say no to it. It's filtering down all those responsibilities. One thing that's made it easier for me, and a lot of the 20-year ag teachers agreed with this, I have all my lessons pretty much done now. I've taught some of my classes, I've taught 9 times. So when I go to teach it for the 10th time, I know how the class lays out. I've got the worksheets done. I've got the PowerPoints. I've got the projects and the engaging lessons. I don't have to sit down for an hour or two and brainstorm and try to find lessons. No, I always try to improve, you know, or make a mental note like this lesson absolutely tanked. The kids hated it, or stuff they really loved. We may spend a few more days. So I don't have a cookie cutter class every year, but I have the big ideas. I'm not spending. I found it takes about minute per minute on a class. So if I've got a 45-minute class, it takes me 45 minutes to get prepared for that class the first time. So now I'm looking at 5 to 10 minutes if I have to make copies or something. So definitely the longer you're in it, the quicker you can kind of do things. So that's been a big help.
Okay, so what are some of the best tips that you've found that could possibly help some other mothers in the education field, or just really anyone in the educational field?
Well, for moms, you know, that trying to incorporate your kids as much as you can and bringing them along. And this was one of the difficult things about the study, because the older teachers brought up how much support they had or how much support they didn't have. And that's nothing we can really do as a profession.
What have you learned that you didn't know before this dissertation that has helped you in the classroom?
Getting to talk to those ag teachers, it was really fun. I enjoyed it. And it just kind of reminded me how much ag teachers are passionate about their students. You know, and sometimes you have a year, like right now, some of my students are just not motivated like they have been in previous years. But, you know, just seeing them light up when they talk about students, some of them even cried when they talked about past students that had just exceedingly made them proud and went beyond expectation. And I just think seeing how passionate they were kind of reignited my own drive to come in and have a successful program and to make that impact.
So what are some of the common themes that you saw from the 20-year and the 5-year teachers?
Putting in an excessive amount of hours. Most of the younger ones were working 2 to 3 extra hours after school or before school to get their, you know, all their responsibilities done. And even the 20-year teachers, you know, they were putting in 2 to 3 extra hours a day, putting in some Saturdays because that's just how things fail. You know, they couldn't incorporate some of the stuff into school. So seeing a lot of hours, seeing a lot of classes taught. The less than 5-year females, they average 6 classes a day. I mean, that's a lot of different things to have to prepare for. Both of them really taught well. You can't really talk on a survey, but a lot of them strongly agreed with how much impact that students had on them. And surprisingly, both sectors had also looked at different jobs. Most of them were either going to go into ag industry or they were going to go into different fields of education. So maybe like administration or the State Department of Education. So both groups had looked at different jobs, but hadn't actually taken a different job outside of education. So they had some common themes. One thing that was different that I think is really interesting and needs to be followed up on, the 20-year teachers really talked about how administration could be a problem. They didn't understand their role as an ag teacher. They weren't really supportive of the program. They maybe had caused problems and issues. And the teachers less than 5 years didn't feel like their administration caused them any problems. So that was something they disagreed on that I would like to deep dive into and kind of figure out why.
Hey, is there anything that you want to talk about that we haven't talked about or that you want to add to this from your dissertation?
I saw somebody else's on their research paper, and I think it's a really good point. When you talk about work-life balance, people think of it kind of like one of those balance scales. You know, you put stuff on both sides and hope that it hangs at the same level. And people want to think that, you know, if you put more on the work side, you've got to put more on the personal side so it balances back out. But instead, maybe we need to be taking off of the work side, you know, because if you keep putting more and more, even though it's balanced, it still makes it just harder. So, you know, I think the big thing is going to be talking to, like, not me, but somebody needs to go into state departments of education and school districts and stuff and kind of start from that level of taking stuff off versus trying to come up with retention programs and things like that. I think it's going to be about unloading teachers and for higher-ups in education to realize what's important and what's not.
Thank you, Dr. Gaddy, for joining us today and discussing your dissertation. We are grateful to be able to highlight this issue facing the agricultural education industry. We hope this podcast provided some insight to our listeners.
We want to say thank you to all the ag teachers. We appreciate your dedication, hard work, and sacrifices in and out of the classroom. Whether you just graduated or have been out of school for 30 years, shoot your ag teachers a message and let them know the impact they have had on you and how much you appreciate them.
Thank you for tuning in. If you would like to know more, check out our story in the 2023 issue of The Agriculturalist.
The Agriculturist podcast was completely produced by students enrolled in the Agricultural Communications block at Texas Tech University. The Block is a capstone experience where students enroll in 4 courses to produce the magazine and a campaign plan. To learn more about our program, go to depts.ttu.edu/agEd. The Agriculturist is available online at ttuagriculturist.com and is available on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter.